Reality is not the same thing as human intelligibility. There may be real things in the world, real objective facts out there in the world, which are inaccessible to humans, which are not even intelligible to humans. To deny that seems to me to be a form of idealism. It's the idea that reality is somehow limited by, is constrained by, what is intelligible to the human mind at this particular stage of its evolution. And why should that be so? We certainly don't think that what's real is intelligible to the mind of a dog or a cat or a platypus. We don't think that. That would be a crazy kind of respect owed to that species' mind, that species' mind with a measure of reality. Nothing could exist in reality but was not representable in that species' mind. But why do we suppose that nothing in reality could exist unless it's representable in the human mind? After all, the human mind as it now exists is just one point in evolution. Surely there'll be changes in the mind, the human mind, and the human brain. So we shouldn't go around thinking that what can be contained in the world, what's real, is somehow limited by what we can understand. And I want to apply that general point to the mind-body problem and say, well, just perhaps the reason we have so much difficulty with this problem is precisely that there's something real out there, something real in our consciousness and real in our brain, which happens to transcend our ability to discover it. Now, I want to say on one final note something about free will that I mentioned in a previous lecture. We might wonder, and indeed this would be, I think, a good question to ask yourself, whether this type of approach, sometimes called mysterianism, might help us out with the free will problem. Maybe free will is also something which we find very difficult to understand. Maybe there's something about it which radically goes beyond our ability to conceive of things. Maybe when we think about free will, we can't help thinking of it in certain ways, modelling it on ordinary physical causation, and that leads us into all sorts of perplexities. Maybe if we recognise that our grasp of our theoretical understanding of the mind, including free will, including consciousness, is a very primitive thing, it really doesn't penetrate to the essence and the heart of the phenomena, maybe then we'd begin to see that free will might be possible, it's just that we don't have any way of conceiving how it's possible. But, as I say, things might be real, even though they may not be things which we can conceive to be real, things we can make intelligible to ourselves. Having discussed the mind in relation to the brain and consciousness and free will, we must now discuss the relationship between the mind and the world, and in particular, to what extent is the world that we think of coloured by the mind which we take to the world when we understand the world.
This ends Lecture 10. Remember to visit this course's webpage at www.modernscholar.com, where you'll find additional information about the lectures that you just heard. If you borrowed this course from a public library and would like your own copy of the course guide for future reference, call Recorded Books at 1-800-636-3399, and we'll send you a free copy. A shipping charge will apply.